I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Health. Our topic today is the treatment of kidney cancer and the current National Comprehensive Cancer Network guidelines for care. I'd like to thank the National Comprehensive Cancer Network for accrediting and for collaborating with Discovery Health on the content of this program, as well as our supporters, Wyeth, Pfizer, and Novartis Oncology. Physicians and other healthcare professionals can earn free CME credit by registering online at discoveryhealthcme.com and taking the post-test. All the graphics and references from today's program will also be available online. It's easy to log on, take the post-test, and earn free credit for the program, so do it today. Now, we're fortunate to have a distinguished group of experts here in the studio with us today to discuss the latest treatment options for kidney cancer. Dr. Timothy M. Kuzel, Professor of Medicine, Robert H. Lurie Comprehensive Cancer Center of Northwestern University, Chicago, Illinois. Dr. Michael A. Carducci, Professor of Oncology and Urology, the Sidney Kimmel Comprehensive Cancer Center at Johns Hopkins, Baltimore, Maryland. And Dr. Benjamin I. Chung, Assistant Professor of Urology, Stanford Comprehensive Cancer Center, Stanford, California. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. During the next hour, we will discuss how to choose the appropriate imaging studies for the staging of kidney cancer, surgical techniques utilized in the management of kidney cancer, and the use of targeted agents for unresectable and recurrent kidney cancer. Doctors, let's start with the number of cases of kidney cancer each year. Dr. Chung?
Well, in 2008, we estimated about 55,000 new cases diagnosed, and of those, about 13,000 deaths. Kidney cancer takes up about 4% of all adult malignancies, and the median age of diagnosis is about 65 years of age, and there's a male preponderance, about 2-to-1 ratio, over females. According to SEER data, at diagnosis, the vast majority are diagnosed at a localized curable stage, about 60%. Another 20% have some evidence of lymph node involvement, another 20% have evidence of metastatic disease.
And since most people do present with localized disease, survivals for kidney cancer actually look pretty good in the big picture of things. So patients who have surgical resection are rendered tumor-free. The bulkier of the tumor, those patients have a higher risk for relapse, but people who are low, completely confined to the kidney can go many, are often cured. So we really get concerned only about those patients who have locally advanced disease into the lymph nodes, that which is spread. Those patients' survival starts to drift below 50%. In patients with wildly metastatic disease, we start to worry about whether they're going to be around in 5 years. So it's a mixed picture across the disease continuum.
And it's important that patients as well as their physicians remember that there are multiple different types of primary kidney tumors. Although 80 to 85% of those tumors are clear cell carcinomas, there's about 10 to 15% or so which can fall into categories such as papillary type 1 or type 2, chromophobes, or oncocytomas. We're splitting hairs somewhat because the surgical management of those tumors really are all the same. But it is important to remember that because the treatment for advanced disease now has changed.
How is kidney cancer usually found? Dr. Chung, do most patients have symptoms?
Well, fortunately, they don't. The classic symptom triad consisting of hematuria, flank pain, and abdominal mass is quite uncommon these days. With the advent of newer and more advanced cross-sectional imaging, especially studies, most of these cases are found incidentally, greater than 50% according to the literature.
And some patients certainly present with metastatic disease and have shortness of breath, weight loss, bone pain, and the workup sort of continues for a while. Until they get an abdominal CT and find the primary kidney tumor, then we start working up for metastatic disease. So that's more of the advanced patient population.
It's Today's discussion will focus on the treatment of kidney cancer and specifically on the current guidelines from the National Comprehensive Cancer Network. These guidelines are considered the gold standard for treatment of many different cancers. NCCN shared some information about how the guidelines are developed. The NCCN clinical practice guidelines in oncology are crucial to improving the quality of care for patients living with cancer. NCCN's guidelines program is considered the gold standard for oncology care in the U.S.
As an academic physician, I really value my participation on NCCN guideline panels, particularly to have the opportunity to interact with colleagues in a multidisciplinary setting to have an impact on the care of cancer patients.
The NCCN guidelines are developed by 44 panels of physicians whose expertise spans more than 100 diseases in the oncology spectrum. The guidelines are updated continuously with new data and recommendations by leading physicians and other clinicians from the 21 NCCN member institutions.
Since the goal is to provide the best outcome for an individual patient, we can achieve that only by looking at the entire course of treatment for that individual patient.
NCCN guidelines are based on categories of evidence and consensus. These categories range from 1, meaning there is high-level evidence and uniform consensus among the physicians that a recommendation is appropriate, to categories 2A and 2B, which indicate uniform or non-uniform consensus on lower-level evidence, to a category 3, in which there's major disagreement about the recommendation. All recommendations are category 2A unless otherwise noted. The most up-to-date guidelines can be found online at nccn.org. The NCCN guidelines cover treatment for both localized and metastatic disease. When a patient is found to have a kidney tumor, what's the first step?
Well, the first step is to image the patient as best possible and stage the patient as best possible. But first, you need to start with a good physical exam. And then follow that with adequate laboratory studies, a CBC, a complete metabolic profile, urinalysis, and LDH. My preference and most practitioners out there is to get a good high-quality CT scan with and without IV contrast, the abdomen and pelvis, to verify the diagnosis, first of all. And what you're looking for is enhancement of that tumor on CT scan, which means it has a lot of vascularity. Generally, those cases are the ones that we worry about neoplasm. You want to make sure the patient has a good contralateral kidney and good function of that kidney. And you want to make sure that if there's any sort of local regional spread, lymph node involvement, and the like. I get a chest x-ray to make sure there's no metastatic spread of disease into the chest. And in certain cases, an MRI may be appropriate. Those cases include patients who have a caval thrombus. MRI is much better suited to delineate the extent of caval thrombi, which can greatly change your surgical management upon how high the tumor thrombus extends. If the patient has a high risk for having bony disease, pain like, or seizures or something in that order, then a bone scan or a scan of the head would also be appropriate.
Well, let's begin with localized disease. What's the current standard of care?
Well, the current standard of care is that and this is based upon the behavior of kidney cancer, surgical resection is always the best option. And if you can resect it completely, then you've given the patient the best chance for a long-lasting cure. So basically, the recommendations reflect that. There are many flavors of options that are available, and that depends upon the size of tumor, location, and other factors. And basically, to paint it in broad strokes, we either take the whole kidney out, which is called a radical nephrectomy, or a part of it, a partial nephrectomy.